There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. It's 10:29. There's a fabulous new TV show on with a book accompanying it. It's James Martin's French Adventure, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome James Martin to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good. What a pleasure to talk to you. Big fan.
Thank you very much. You got better weather there, that's for sure.
Well, only just, I think, actually, at the moment. only just, yeah. Now, this is peculiar for me because there's a backstory here, and we have something in common which you couldn't possibly know about. And I was very pally with the late Keith Floyd. And in fact, I even sung his funeral. And the car that you are going round France in, which of course did belong to Keith,
yeah.
I've been in many, many times.
Oh, fantastic. Surprise me. There you go.
He used to pick me up at the airport in that car. And I tell you what, James, I'd hope you've had the brakes done.
Do you know what? When I got it, Poppy, yeah. His daughter, turned around and said, would you like to buy it, first of all? Anyway, there's no question. 72 hours later, it was in my garage. And it was MOT'd in France. So it had an MOT in France.
Right.
And I thought, do you know what? Before I take it over to France, back again on doing this programme, I'm just going to get it checked.
Yes.
A mate of mine owns an MOT station. It failed on 32 counts. So it went in there. We've literally... It basically looks identical to the car that you're familiar with in terms of interior. It still smells like odd bins inside.
Yeah.
But the brakes have been done. The engine's been done. Yeah, it's yeah. The brakes are never good anyway, but it's now got an official UK MOT.
I'm delighted to hear it. Well, I mean, to Keith in that car, driving as you'd imagine Keith does, you know, was fairly hairy. You know, anyone that remotely got in the way of it, get out of the bloody way,
well,
for God's sake.
Thank you very much. Well, it's all credit to all the dents that are in it, really, as well.
Exactly.
They're still in it. It's still got the dent on all the way around it. It's still got marks. It's still... Yeah, it is.
The dent at the front, that person did come out of hospital quite early, so it's fine. really good to talk to you, and I hope you don't mind me saying that I think that your style of cooking and TV presenting is the kind that Keith would have been very fond of, because you're not a poncy TV chef.
No, well, he did actually. He used to call me, wanted to come on Saturday Kitchen, and I really wanted him on, but... I think the powers that be wouldn't really want to risk it, but it's but you know I've always admired the way that he, particularly television wise, you know, I was sort of classically trained in France, classically trained in London, and kind of fell into TV really. It wasn't really there's no college for TV cookery, if that makes sense. I just got plucked from a head chef's position in a hotel in Winchester, and that was it really, the more you do, and I've been doing this for 22 years now, and you can see other chefs, and they come and they go, and you know, and trends come and go. But you know, 23 years, I'm still doing it.
Fabulous.
So, but I'm looking at the way that he does it, and you have to admire the way that he was just great with people. I think that's what was the magic of it, and also his attitude towards food, like you said, was unponcy. But he was the first chef, really, first TV cook that took away that bench and did it as a cookery lesson. And now I'm going to take you on a journey which is a bit of fun. And
absolutely.
It was always quite edgy, which I loved.
Very much so. And you have the added, well, you're not doing it now, but I mean, 10 years on Saturday Kitchen, doing a live TV show, and that's a whole other ball game.
Well, you get practice doing that, and that's the key. When we set about doing this, and to be fair, every single person that we approached when I left Saturday Kitchen about this idea, they all wanted it. And we thought, you know, how are we going to make it different? How are we going to make it fun? So what we did was, I said to the guys, look, we'll do it in one camera, i.e., you know, same. Not, we don't want to do it exactly the same as Floyd by any means, because there's only one Floyd. Mm. But shoot it in that sort of style.
Yeah.
So one camera, we've got a second camera shooting the food, but everything in one take. So
yeah.
When we start rolling and we do the food, every single bit that you see on the programme is done in one take.
Fabulous.
So even when, you know, I mean, the band kicks off, it's showing on ITV today at 3 o'clock, the band kicks off, there's a 30-piece band that suddenly appears from nowhere in the middle of this market. I don't know where they come from, but all of a sudden they're just all around me with these trombones and we just carry on going. It's hilarious.
Wonderful. Now, your love affair with France goes way back, doesn't it, to a very, very early age?
Yeah, I used to go there. We didn't have a house there or anything else. We were farmers' kids, so we had nothing like that. We used to go. My dad used to have loads of different jobs.
Yeah.
Toastmaster, after dinner speaker. He was running Castle Howard Estate. He was all manner of, you know, jack of all trades.
Yeah.
And one of his jobs was importing Centimillion wine.
Ah.
I don't know how on earth he got that job from a farm in Yorkshire, but we ended up going there. I suppose about 6 or 7 was the first trip to France. It wasn't glamorous, not flight. It was in a transit van down to the south of France to pick up some wine. Then it turned out we were in a 38-ton truck going there when I was about 10 or 12. And then gradually I kind of, you know, I didn't want to sort of wander around Centimillion all day. They turned around and said, well, why don't you just go over the road? There's a restaurant over the road. And there was a place called the Hostellerie de Plaisance, which was a 2-star Michelin at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into the kitchen and saw all these crazy French chefs shouting at each other. I went, this is rock and roll, this is ace. I'm quite fancy about this. And that was it, really. I was kind of, you know, I got the bug quite early on, but I was quite fortunate. I didn't really fall into it. I walked into it, if that makes sense. But
how brilliant.
That's how it all started, yeah.
Did you get any stick from your kind of Yorkshire chums that, you know, you were becoming a chef and they thought that wasn't really what blokes should do?
Well, you know, I mean, particularly my family on my grandparents' side, you know, my granddad always said, you know, you ought to get a proper job from the age of, you know, like 12 years old, play cricket.
Yeah.
That was, because he was a fast bowler for Yorkshire, so he was a big cricketer. So, you know, that was it. I had to follow in those footsteps. But I kind of could play cricket, but I was never going to be very good at it. Mm. And I was only ever good at art at school as well. And, you know, my folks said, well, you're not going to do art because all the wealthy ones are all dead.
Mm.
So don't do that. What else do you want to do? And I just love food. I just love cooking. I was brought up on a farm.
Mm.
You know, you're kind of surrounded by food. And to be fair, I wasn't really frightened of hard work because, you know, anybody that works on a farm knows that it's a damn sight harder than it is in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So at least I was warm. At least I got some food.
Mm.
And so when I came to London and did all my training and technically got my backside kicked, it kind of didn't faze me, I think. You know, a lot of people looking on the outside, particularly my parents at the time, going, what are you doing working 19 hours a day in this place? You know, it's like a hellhole. But I just thought, well, I'm warm. It's freezing cold outside. I get food. I'm with a group of guys that are working so hard to achieve great success in something, and you're part of a team. And I just thought, well, this is ace. You know, you either love it or hate it. It's one of those things.
Yeah. You didn't go the traditional route immediately that some chefs do. They do their training, and of course, every chef is desperate to get their own restaurant and get straight into that restaurant. That was a downfall of Floyd, and he wouldn't mind me saying that. You know, opening a restaurant was a disaster for
King. Well, I mean, it's easy to open a restaurant; it's very difficult to run a restaurant. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
So you know, the way I did it, I did, you know, the classic training. You know, most young chefs now want to, you know, learn to run before they can walk.
Yeah.
My whole attitude was, well, you've got to have the base training first. So, you know, leaving college straight down to London, working in, you know, some amazing restaurants, 2- and 3-star Michelin restaurants, and then the biggest, best brasserie, then worked in the best hotel in England, you know, Chewton Glen, got their Michelin star back. That's five red stars. You know, I mean, it's you know, that kind of formal training. And then, you know, ended up head chef quite young, probably, you know, a bit too young probably for me, really, because, you know, I was eager, I wanted something to prove. So the minute we opened, we had an 8-month waiting list for a table. It was the place to go out of London to go see, so we used to get loads and loads of people there trying to get a table. And you know, names and magazines and newspapers used to write about us all every single week.
And how did the first TV break come for you?
Well, that was kind of accumulation of a bit of Floyd, but a bit of Lloyd Grossman as well. They were all everybody was filming, you know, all around the country, and that, you know, obviously the Hotel de Van at that particular time was really, really famous 20 years ago.
Yep. And
I was the young kid there. I was this young bandana wearing, you know, nutcase who used to, you know, shout and scream, and I was swearing all the time. I was just this complete madman,
right,
really, I suppose.
Right.
And then, you know, people used to come not just to see that, but to see the food, hopefully. And that's how it all started, really. A TV producer was in there.
Amazing.
With Lloyd Grossman and gave me a card. I think I told them to get lost, to be honest, first of all. And then the phone call rang about 2 weeks later. It's the first time I've ever been in a chauffeur-driven car to London.
Wow.
And within 2 weeks, I was, you know, I'd been employed to do The Big Breakfast.
Ah, yes.
Chris Evans,
yes.
And Gabby Roslin. I was the first person I cooked for was Zig and Zag.
Yes, okay.
The second was the Bee Gees, and the third was Kylie Minogue.
So that's not bad. It got slightly better. I mean, that's really interesting, of course, that because that also has a kind of parallel with Floyd, doesn't it? Because he was obviously working in his restaurant in Bristol, and David Pritchard walked in, said, "I like what you're doing," and gave him a card. It's exactly the same route.
It's the same sort of thing, exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's totally opposite of way that people think television is about. You know, television cookery is not about going for going for meetings and going for screen tests and stuff like that. It's just, you know, if people are looking for somebody, they find you. It's simple as that. And that's how Floyd started. The fatal mistake, like you said, with what Floyd did was start opening restaurants.
Absolutely. I'm a terrible businessman.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Not the greatest thing to do in the world, but, you know, I'll stick with just the two that I've got.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. So this show, you're obviously cooking food that you really love. I mean, French food is obviously really important to you. You're renowned for cooking food with a lot of butter in it, a lot of cream in it. That's all good now.
Well,
we can do that now.
I've been saying that for years, you see.
Yeah,
I don't know why we have this obsession as Brits, this obsession, the minute we hit January and February, we just, you know, decide to go, you know, slim again. And then everybody buys the books and watch the pro, and then nobody does anything.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, balance, lifestyle, anything else, but you can't go to France and wax lyrical about eating salad leaves. It's just not going to happen. They're just going to kick you out of the country. So, you know, when I did this, I wanted to show, you know, true France, the true greatness of France, not just in terms of the food, but in terms of the places, you know, some of the places we went to were just beautiful. So, you know, and I didn't want to do a homage to Floyd. The only connection we got with the Floyd in the entire show is the fact that we drove his car.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has made it extra special for me, and I think the journey made it even more enjoyable as well. But we only went to one of the places where Floyd went, and that was a chateau in Burgundy, where we went to a red wine chateau, and he was there the same week back in 1986.
Wow.
And we tasted a bottle of the 86 that was harvested when he was there.
How wonderful.
Because they were harvesting this year's grapes. Well, last year's grapes anyway. But that's the only really bit that we had with the Floyd bit in it. But the rest of it was just, you know, kind of shot like he liked food, like I like food.
It
was just, you know, there's no ponciness. And when things go wrong, keep it in.
Yeah.
You know, I set fire to my shirt, I set fire to my arm, I've set fire to the table. I nearly burnt a load of vineyards down. We're in a market and a bulldog peed on my leg. We all keep all that in, you know.
That's lovely. And I hope it's not the influence of driving around in Keith's car, but I think you've just rediscovered a taste for wines in France and fine wines in particular.
Yeah, well, I did drive to the location in the morning, but then by about lunchtime, somebody else took over the driving, and we did all the driving shots in the morning, to be brutally honest with you. That happened on the cognac episode. We're in cognac, and I drank a little bit too much cognac, and then forgot that I had to cook in the afternoon. So, yeah.
Well, it's a brilliant series. It's on at the moment, as you say. There's a book which accompanies it, and it's James Martin's French Adventure. Before you go, James, I must just ask you about Saturday Kitchen. Is the story true this week that the part of the reason that you came off Saturday Kitchen was because somebody dropped dead in front of you?
It was true. Yeah, it's accumulation of a lot of things, really.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you've got to look at 10 years. And I remember, you know, guests used to come on and you know, the late great Sir Terry Wogan and Michael Parkinson, that, you know, when you're chatting to those guys, legends in their field, yeah. They turn around and said, you know, you'll know when it's time to leave.
Mm.
I always remember them saying that when they came on as a guest, and I thought, well, does that mean now?
Mm.
And then sort of 4 years later, this was just 2015 end of, we're at a festival in Dubai, and I was just chatting to a guy, literally opposite side of the table. I'm chatting to him most of the evening, and he just stood up on stage, and that was it. He died before I hit the floor.
Good grief.
And he was just saying how much he worked and he enjoyed his work and everything else, and was pushing it. He was just huge successful over there. And then I just thought, you know, something's got to give. When I got back home, and you know, your team turned around and said, "Well, do you realise you've only had 5 days off this year and 6 the year before?" And I went, "Well, yeah, maybe I need to not just take a step back. Maybe I just need to just slow down a bit."
Yeah.
So you know, your brain's telling you you're 22, but your body isn't.
Sure.
It's simple as that. So that's how it all. That was the penny drop for me.
Accumulation
of other things, but that was. That was the thing, really, that I thought, you know what, maybe we need to look at something slightly different.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you on the show today, James. Look after the car.
I will do. It's sat in pride of place in my garage. It's. I'm looking at it now while I'm talking to you.
Could you check under the passenger seat if there's a €5 note in there? Because I'm pretty sure I dropped one. Really good to talk to you, James. All the best.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Everybody's talking at me.
Talk Radio Europe.
14 minutes to 11. Our thanks to James Martin. Really nice to talk to him and reminisce about the late, great Keith Lloyd. And I'm going to play something now that I've never, ever played on the radio before. It's not actually ever been heard officially before, except that I sang this at Keith's funeral. And it was a song that when I first met Keith, I wrote for him. It's very irreverent, so please don't be offended. Keith certainly wasn't. He loved it. And I actually sang this song at his funeral. I hope you find it amusing. It's called The Keith Floyd Blues.
I woke up this morning, old Floyd is back in town. I was getting drunk by lunchtime, unconscious by sundown. He's a wizard in the kitchen and a wizard in the bar. He can make a bottle disappear just like a superstar. I got the Keith Floyd blues. My liver just ain't working anymore. It's gonna take 100 doctors to get me back the way I was before. Yes, it is. Well, he's cooked in many places, got drunk in many more. He's every bar's best customer, from Stoke to Singapore. His TV shows are legendary, wherever you may go. More people know him than the Pope and Barry Manilow. I got the Keith Floyd blues. My liver just ain't working anymore. No. It's gonna take 100 doctors to get me back the way I was before. Yes, it is. Now he's up in heaven and making quite a splash. The bars run out of whiskey and the banks run out of cash. So let's all raise our glasses, let's get drunk and smoke. And here's to Floyd, a legend and a bloody lovely bloke. I got the Keith Floyd blues. My liver just ain't working anymore. It's gonna take 100 doctors to get me back.
There we are. That's the first time that's ever been played on the radio. Obviously, I changed the last verse after he sadly passed away, but that, I wrote that for Keith. He absolutely loved that song. We used to kind of sing together at a restaurant that he had in Thailand, where I used to go out and sing in his bar and restaurant. You couldn't make this stuff up, really. And Keith would join me on stage for a little rendition of that with a tear in his eye. God bless him. And I sung that at his funeral. And, yeah, not a dry in the house. So there we are. Nice to talk to James Martin about Floyd, and how lovely to find somebody who was as reverential about him as I am.
Talk Radio Europe.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.